And welcome, everybody, to episode 18 of Conversations with Craigle. I am your host, Jonathan Craigle, and I want to thank you for taking the time to check out this little podcast that I'm putting together, podcast of interviews with athletes, coaches, and just all around good people, great people, in fact. Today, you should be listening to a part two of my interview with Mitchell Stevenson. If you haven't already, stop this audio and go listen to part one. Part one will have different information, but I think it'll give some good context for our conversation in this part two episode. So again, don't listen to part two and then go back and listen to part one. Stop right now. If you're watching on YouTube, it'll be the previous episode and the same with every other podcast platform that we're hosted on. A little note, I'm going to plan to post any kind of links and such to the YouTube version of the video, which you're likely or could be listening to now. It'll be easier in social media to post those and have people go there, follow, and so forth. But as you listen to this, I have this podcast on plenty of different platforms. So we are hosted on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and pretty much any other podcast hosting location that you could go. If you can't find it, you can always fall back to YouTube and find the page there with all of the videos and audio. Currently, again, I'm not doing live interviews. I'm taping them and posting them, but I will be down the line doing some live interview type stuff. So just a note there, I will list the different platforms in the show notes so that if you decide you don't want to listen to YouTube, because normally you would have to listen to it sort of live with a live connection, if you'd rather download it and listen to it on your Apple Podcasts or other hosting platform, I will provide the links below. Always appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to spend a little time with me and with my guest. Again, a lot of the introduction of Mitch will be in episode one or part one of the interview. That would be episode 17. So if you haven't listened to it, you'll get the introduction about him and such. In this episode, we're going to talk about his formative years, where he grew up, his family life, and where they moved from and to and so forth, his sports career, playing for the Linden High School Lions out of Linden, Washington, and then going on to George Fox University. And I will let you know that you'll want to, I believe, just I need to prepare you for probably the second half or so, maybe the last 40% of this interview. We get into some difficult discussion, and not difficult in the sense of angry or against one another, but more emotional. And so I don't want to give away anything. I simply want to let you know, if you're listening to this, be prepared to either stop and listen to it when you're in a place you can, or just prepare yourself for some emotions of your own, depending on you know how well you know Mitch and his CrossFit sort of career and some of the different parts of that. Again, I would be remiss not to at least make you aware that, and I'll preface it with this, or I'll let you know this. I shed some tears myself. So again, I just want to make sure you're prepared for that and aware of that, depending on where you're listening to this. Well, without further ado, again, thank you so much for following. I'll certainly add some brief notes at the end after this part of the interview is over, but enjoy this time with Mitchell Stevenson as I did when I was interviewing him. So you actually made a mention of your older sister. You are what number of how many?
I'm the second oldest of five biological kids, okay. And then three adopted.
So you're the oldest boy.
Yeah.
And the age from your oldest sister to the youngest biological, and then the youngest overall. So Abby.
Yeah.
Is,
so the three, the.
So actually, name off. So your oldest sister is
Brianna.
Okay. And she's how much older than you?
She's like 2.5 years older than me. Then there's me. And then there's Kelsey and Jason, who are similar in age. Kelsey's adopted and Jason's my young brother. And then there's James and Cameron, who are similar in age.
Right.
And James is adopted and Cam. And then there's Abby and Sadie, who are the two youngest, and they're similar in age. Sadie was adopted.
Yeah, shout out Abby and Marcus. Abby, it was a class this morning. It was a little tale.
Yep, family affair today.
Workout, buddy. Yeah. Your mom was here. Beamers. We're missing Carrie. She obviously had something going on. That's fine. Get your fitness in, Carrie. But yeah.
She will. Already then.
Probably not even an issue. I've known you again since you were probably 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Your family moved to, your actually was born in.
So I was Green Bank? I grew up in Green Bank on Whidbey Island.
Okay.
I was born in Anacortes. And I lived there till 16.
Yeah. You played for the Coupeville Wolves?
Coupeville Wolves. Yep.
Yeah. Soccer. And then, I still remember that was a checking point for my emotions, because helping to coach soccer, that was the Coupeville versus Nooksack Valley was a game to forget because of the emotions and such. But you lived there in Green Bank. What a beautiful, again, shout out to listeners. If you've never been to Green Bank, there's some fantastic Airbnbs, some log cabins, beautiful place to visit and stay if you ever come to Washington. Place I visit every couple of years, just grab
that. Cool.
Then you guys, so you lived there, decided then.
Yeah.
Then what made the decision to come up to Linden?
My dad's a pastor.
Right.
So he'd been pastoring in Green Bank. And my aunt and uncle live in Linden here, and the church that they went to, my mom and dad actually got married in.
Okay.
And
I didn't realize that.
They got married there. Anyway, like they needed a pastor. Their pastor retired.
Okay.
So
it was a good and so was any decision, this is just my mindset, because Linden being a Coupeville was good, it was a good school, and you guys had gone to, you know, state.
Soccer, we had a good, like, Coupeville sports never been good.
Yeah.
Like, there's just isn't a winning culture there, and it's amazing what a culture or an expectation will do. So it was just what it was.
You know,
like, a very small community. Yeah, but we had, when like my freshman year, we had a lot of people who played soccer.
Yeah.
A lot of like good soccer players.
Yeah.
And a coach that was really good. And he had kind of an expectation for the program he was creating. And I really respected him. And so I played there my freshman and sophomore year and was the only freshman to make the varsity team.
Yeah.
Was excited about that and played a lot. And we, you know, were made the state tournament for the first time ever in school.
Was that your freshman year or sophomore year you guys made state? Or did you make it both years?
I think we made it both years.
I think so, too. Yeah.
My sophomore year, we were even better.
Yeah, you guys, the only reason I remember, I think it was your sophomore year?
The sophomore year, you guys, Nooksack, came up and played Coupeville.
Mount Vernon? That was down down to your field in Coupeville. That's right, because it was the following year that we ended up going to Mount Vernon, played Coupeville again in the playoffs. But you were by that point you were already
Linden. We'd moved,
And so it wasn't as rumors have it. It wasn't that they moved you up to Linden to get on the high-powered Linden Lions soccer team. It was because of your dad's job, and it just was a natural progression.
Yeah, I say
rumor. I'm teasing because I always thought it was that, but certainly your dad being a pastor was the focal point coming up.
Yeah, for me.
Just a natural.
Yeah, for the family, that was what it was. For me, it was like, oh, wow, now I have a lot more opportunity to play, you know, Rangers, club team, and On the island, we just didn't have that. Like, there was a club team, but if you played on that club team, you had to travel so much to get to any
games.
So I would train with them, but we didn't
and at that point, when you came up to Linden, it would be your junior year. They had always had a pretty, they had a good soccer team.
Well, the thing with Linden is they have good sports, so they, I mean, they're always, you know, like winning state in football and basketball.
Yeah.
Then some of the other programs are kind of, you know, so soccer, they've been fine. And then the years I was there, we were really good.
Yeah.
It was in my experience with it is interesting because my junior year, it was just a completely different coaching style and everything was so different. Mm-hmm. My junior year, like I went from being kind of like the really good young player on a team to being a junior and like some games, I don't even know if I started every game. And being like, but this is my thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm known for.
Right.
I'm known as the soccer guy. And like, even coming here, I was like the soccer guy.
Yeah.
And I like this adjustment period was for some reason really tricky.
Yeah.
And I don't know if some of it is like Linden can be tough.
Yeah.
Like place to jump into. Like all the people that I was playing with or went to school with have known each other since the beginning of their time.
Well, nothing against Linden, I love y'all. Love the Lions. Love the Lynx.
What's happening next?
Stevenson doesn't sound like a Dutch name.
No, but Vandersteve does, and that's my mom's.
Your mom's,
So I mean,
that's the tough part of it is it's a great community, but it can be hard to break in when again you're the new kid, and nobody knows you. Not really.
And
that dynamic, and it's not a small school. It's not like going from Cookeville to Linden. Your
doubling
class size was 250, 260, 250 in the four grades, and I think Linden's, you know, probably, I don't know, 900 per class. So it's like four times or five times the size of what you're used to coming out of, where everybody knows you, you're just okay, great. You're a soccer player. Well, we're okay at soccer too.
Right.
A lot of the kids were Rangers, but you had a good junior year and you guys won state.
And then then my senior year, we won state.
Yeah.
And so that was really.
And you did integrate because you were a starter. You were a primary person on those senior. By that point, you had kind of done your deal.
I mean, I think when I first moved here, like I was homeschooled a lot growing up. And then I never went to public school, but I played sports for public schools, you know, that's where the action was. So then when we moved here, I was like, well, this is Linden. Like everyone knows each other and a lot of them are related. So everyone's cousins and all this stuff. And I'm like, I better go to school, better go to public school and try to jump right in because I'm way behind.
Yeah.
So that's kind of was my approach. Like my junior year is like, okay, I'm going to go to public school and like really do this thing. Whereas before my track was kind of to go to Running Start.
Yeah.
Like kind of get ahead on all that stuff. So I like kind of forced something that maybe I didn't need to. I feel like now, because I went for a full semester to public school at Linden and tried to really jump in and just kind of felt like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Like I would rather just play soccer and not go to school here. And so then I kind of adjusted.
Yeah.
And went like part-time public school and then did some Running Start.
Okay.
So, and then the next year, my senior year, which like as far as soccer went, I felt a lot more comfortable. Like I just went to Whatcom Community College and then played soccer for the high school. And that was my like.
Well, and again, those who are from Washington understand it. And I actually work for where Mitch it is. So the community college has one of the states that has a program where juniors and seniors can go to the college in lieu of going to high school their junior senior year and get their associate's degree and graduate. Basically you graduate, but you graduate with your 2-year degree and your high school diploma in essence. And so there's kind of an intermix. So you can do some of, you know, depending on the program you set up, that would be quite an adjustment to go from fully homeschooled to.
Yeah. I mean, so I did a program on Woodby Island to kind of like get you on track for Running Start my freshman year and my sophomore year.
Okay.
So like I was homeschooled at that point, but it was like a program that was like getting you geared up for.
What was the, so we talked about the tough part. the good part of Lyndon, the parts that have, you know, strike you as positive. Maybe at the time you didn't think it, but looking now, what was beneficial of living in Lyndon or being a part of the community?
Well, yeah. Like I mentioned, the island is like, it's an island. So, like, there is a Walmart in Oak Harbor, which is great. But, like, and it's grown now, but the opportunity on the island is just not as much.
Yeah.
So moving here, like, that was my, I was like, oh, shoot, there's a lot of opportunity now to play other sports or go deeper into the sport I'm involved in. Or,
yeah.
You know, so, and the culture was different as far as athletics went.
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, a winning culture, which I think is good. To me, athletics is, like, that was some of the most fun I've ever had. And still, like, I'm still pursuing it now.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I've ever really wanted to do when I was really little. It was all about Little League baseball, you know, and doing everything I can by myself to get better. So when it's time to play with the team, I'm dialed in.
Yeah.
You know, and then it evolved to soccer. And then it evolved from soccer into CrossFit. And so to me, that's like, I love that aspect of the community here is just the opportunity for that. And, you know, a lot of my friends who have kids now are involved in sports and I love going to their games. Oh, it's just so fun.
Well, and a lot of, it's funny because a lot of kids that were Lyndon, well, Lucas, for example, and Zach Viss, and maybe kids that you didn't play direct sports with, but that you're married. Some have kids, but many of them have come back to the gym here.
Yeah.
You see them at the gym, I remember Lucas being this 14-year-old kid coming in, and here he's a grown man out fighting fires, doing hot shots and so forth. The other aspect, kind of with Lyndon, was when you were, and just a thought, when you were doing CrossFit, when you first started in 2014, and you were at a gym in Portland, or, you know,
Newburgh,
and then the opportunity came to come up here. Was it kind of like, I don't really want to go back home, or was it good to come back up here to be able to then train with Matt and Kaylee?
It was right after, regionals 2016.
Okay.
Which was a wild experience because I had a really good open. It was my second time, my third time doing the open. My second time I qualified for regionals, that's kind of like, oh, wow, that's cool. I did it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really try, but I did it.
Yeah.
And I qualified for regionals in 2015. And then the next year I was like, I think I could be good because I had a long chipper workout. That in 2015, and I finished like second, you know, Grant Fikowski. And I was like, oh, shoot. Like, I have, you know, and that's stuff I'm naturally good at.
Right.
Some other ones that I did terrible in.
Right.
But like, I was like, I had a taste of what, you know, doing well feels like. And I liked it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, if I tried a little harder and like it was intentional, like maybe I could do well and like maybe I could go to games or like, I don't know. So that next year I trained harder and I ended up like second out of the open for the region. And so that first day of regionals in 2016, I was next to Brent on my left and Sam Quant on my right, I think. And we had regional Nate and then the snatch ladder that they're actually doing this year in semifinals. And those workouts were terrible for me.
Yeah. And where was that? That was down in...
That was in the Motor Center. Might be whatever, where the Blazers play.
Okay.
In Portland.
Yeah. Because, again, 2016?
2016.
Because I was working media. I worked media. So I was down there for, I believe, that and 17. So yeah. I worked media...
In 14, it was in the Tacoma Dome.
14, 15, 16, 17, I worked media. Yeah. And then I stopped because... It meant having to travel to Carson and find housing and blah, blah, blah. There I could drive down. And anyway, so that particular one. So
I did 2016.
And you're still in Newburgh.
I did really well in the open. And then the first day had two terrible workouts and went from the last heat to the first heat. And that was an experience I'll never forget. I was just devastated.
Yeah.
Because here I was having success. You know, putting my mind to something and experience success through the open and then experiencing the ultimate, like, yeah, you're not what you thought you were.
Wow.
So, like,
yeah.
Yeah, I just, like, I was, like, I felt embarrassed.
Yeah.
I felt just sad and discouraged. Yeah. I was just crying in my hotel room. Like, what am I doing? I was been yeah. second and now I'm in like last place in two events that like,
yeah,
I feel like a fool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that was just a crazy experience. And I remember going on a walk with my coach, and him being like, "Hey, well, you're gonna have to decide for yourself, like, what you want out of this now. Like, you're gonna have to make a decision because I'm just like pouting, you know." Yeah. And it was hard, and I was able to work myself, you know, back throughout the weekend to. I think I finished somewhere on like 12th or something, but something like that. Almost got back to the final eight. But anyways, that was just like a, man, this is just what a whirlwind competing is.
Yeah.
And that's the story, you know, a reflection kind of the story of my competitive career. But to get back to your question, like after that, I was like, I took another look back and was like, okay, well, I obviously have some things I'm not good at. And could I get better at them if I, you know, made some changes to my life? And I felt like kind of at that time, it was time for me to move out of Newburg and go somewhere different. And so I talked to Matt and Kaylee about it, and I didn't really know them that well. I just knew them from coming home and visiting and then dropping in the gym for the week, you know, and what stood out to me is every time I come here, like, well, there's good athletes here. They're all doing the same thing. They're not off doing their own things. They're all doing class.
Yeah.
So I come and I do class, and it's every time I'm like, that was a great workout. Like that was all I really needed for today. Even.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And there's good people around. They're all working hard, and some of them are really actually good. And then whoever was coaching, Matt was coaching a lot at that time.
Right.
He'd tell me something to be like, "Hey, why aren't you doing this?
Right.
Have you tried it this way?" And
yeah.
I was like, "I didn't think about that." You know, and here he is like giving me some guidance.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really even know me.
Yeah.
So like so I just was like, "Hey guys, I know you're like we know each other a little bit, but I need to make a change."
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure where to go, but I'm wondering if you would coach me if the place I go back to is home. And I would be lying to you if I didn't feel some sort of like, oh, I shouldn't go back home because, you know, I'm an adult now. you know, like for some reason, there's this like, I would have to move back in with my parents, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, their advice to me, which also really was impactful to me, their first thing they said was like, okay, well, let us think about it and look into some other options. Like, I thought they were going to be like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. Come on back.
Right.
Like, but they took the time to say on the phone, like, yeah, let us get back to you about it. And I was like, okay, I appreciate that.
Right.
Because I didn't want someone just to be like, for sure. Because that's some of what maybe I was used to or like,
right.
Absolutely. It's going to be amazing. I want you honest. Like, I want some realistic conversation here. And so that's the first thing they gave me. And I was like, oh. And they told me to reach out to some other people and see what they thought.
Yeah.
They gave me some other people to do that too. And so I did that. Yeah. And then, you know, we kind of ended up talking about it and coming to the conclusion that they would be willing to coach me.
Yeah.
And we could see how that would work for a period of time. And I would move home back in with my parents and downstairs apartment and kind of zero in and focus and say no to a lot of the other things. And so that's what I did. I said no. I came here and I said no to pretty much everything else. And I had like three places I'd go, which is the gym, another gym, and home. And I'd go to church. So I had a little square I'd do.
Yeah.
And that was my life for a couple of years.
But that also opened up the opportunity maybe through, you know, what me and Carrie and so forth. Because at that point you guys again met first at what? Through CrossFit, but...
Yeah, we met in Oregon. I was living in Oregon. She was living in Montana at the time, and we met at a competition in Oregon.
And just kind of knew of each other.
We didn't know of each other at all.
Oh, okay.
That point, we had a mutual friend that introduced us, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm from Linden. She's like, I'm from Linden, too. And I was like, what?
Yeah. A lion.
That's wild.
Linden like, Lion and the Lynx. And
So then we knew of each other, and then she was at regionals in 2017, and I was, and that's the next time we saw each other.
Yeah.
And at that point, I had just moved back, and I'd moved back in the October before regionals that year. And And then she was like, I'm moving back too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah,
his life situation. Yeah. And I recall 2017, this kind of will bring the next piece. So 2017 was the year that you were leading, if I remember correctly, you were leading regionals at that point, weren't you? I think that was the year, if I fast forward, didn't you miss it by,
again, I missed it by 4 points.
4 points.
And one event, one spot is 5 points.
And what I recall is there was the one where you were leading the heat, Sam Quant chasing you. It was the overhead walking lunge with the dumbbell.
Well, there are a few things.
But, I mean, there were a few workouts, but I remember that particular one. You were leading, you were ahead, you got no rep, had to go back, no rep again, had to go back, like, with the lunging and that. And the only reason I remember it, because I had just met Dave Castro for the first time, was standing up in the press box, whatever, watching that. But here you're leading after a period of time, not just the event, but the overall. And then a few things here and there. Matt and Keeley, this was, again, the first time they coached you fully, right,
mm-hmm.
at that point. And we're going to get into some hard stuff here. Preface it. I'll try not to tear up myself because I think back, I can recall this. You had setbacks. I remember you had seen Kerry at some point, that competing or whatever. And there was a point where she was competing kind of in whatever third heat or whatever, come to the final event, and you left and went to the back for a period of time. And then they brought you out and you find out you missed by 4 points. And at that point, I just remember you guys went back to the back. And I could see from the, and you and I have never talked about this, and we're reliving this 7 years later.
Hmm.
I was looking from the press box, and I can see the open curtain to the back where most people can't see. And all I see is you in Matt's shoulder at that point. And so you've reached to a point, you've had devastation, but it was there. And you don't know scoring, but you don't know, and yet all of a sudden now, again, another setback. Little do you know what's coming in the coming years. But at that moment, how do you recover from that disappointment, as you recall the best you can?
Yeah, I don't know why that brings up a lot of emotion. I think it's just well, first of all, like, I think I knew pretty quick that I missed because of how the final event went. And I don't really look at the leaderboard at all while I'm competing. Some people need to, because you need to know where you are. And if there's something you have to do in order to make it happen, you're going to have to do it. And you need to know that.
Yeah.
So I trust Matt and I trust Kaylee to do that for me and tell me, like, if I'm in a position, do you have to beat this person? You have to do something that you've never done before. I'll trust them to let me know that. Otherwise, like, there's nothing you're going to do to make me not do my best. Like, I could not feel good. Like, that was my experience last year. I felt every event that kept going, I kept getting sicker and sicker.
Mm.
But you're not going to make me not do my best with what I have.
Right.
Like, once 3-2-1 happens, I'll be filled with doubts. I'll admit it. Like, I'll be working through tons of stuff in the back, and But yeah, once that, like, 3-2-1 happens, or once the beep happens, because it's not 3-2-1 there, it's 10 seconds, that beep. Once the beep goes, it's like, I don't know what to do other than try my best.
Yeah.
And ultimately, like, that's my responsibility as, like, a believer. Like, so anyways, I guess, like, at that specific time in 2017, like, I knew that what my best was on this event wasn't really that good compared to the field.
Yeah.
And I knew I had made some mistakes earlier on in the competition, that they were what they were.
Yeah.
And my hope was I didn't have to learn the hard way. The reality was, like, if I had done one thing different, if I literally had sprinted to the finish line on one workout where someone sprinted, I finished the workout and jogged to the finish line, and someone else, Joe Scally, finished the workout and sprinted to the finish line and passed me. If everything had gone the same that weekend except that, I would have gone to the games in 2017.
Right.
Like, I would have qualified at least. There's more to this story that maybe I wouldn't have gone because I had an injury. But, like, the point is, I guess, like, I knew after the final event 2017 pretty early on that, like, probably didn't. But there's still always hope, you know, when they pull you out there again and they start saying who's going to go and, okay, third place is this person, fourth place is this person, then the final place, and they show you and George Sanchez.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just like, it's me or him. Like,
yeah.
And then it's him and it's not you. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is that it was emotional.
So how did you, I guess the question would be how, and I remember the, because you and Joe Scally jumped over the, I see the, you jumping over, falling over the banners that they had too close to the finish line. But, you know, again, memories. So you obviously take the time after it. You've got to grieve this.
Yeah, well, that experience was so unique because it was my first time missing something like that. My first time being so close and doing well, but being told, like, hey, you did great, but you just missed. You're just not good enough.
Yeah.
You're just barely not good enough. You know, and that was, like, such a wild thing to navigate.
Yeah.
But the part that really made the rest of the year so unique is, like, before that regionals, I was dealing with a back issue.
Right.
And I hadn't done any of the full workouts until, like, a week before, 2 weeks before the actual event. Like, I couldn't pick up, I couldn't do deadlifts. I couldn't do a lot of the stuff that they were requiring us to do. Like, we had to do heavy kettlebell deadlifts.
Yeah.
And I didn't touch those kettlebells.
Well, and just as a note, and we're going to run out of time on this interview because I'm committed to getting you out of here. So I apologize. We're not going to be able to cover all the issues. But as I recall, the injury with your back was related to a broken pegboard.
That was one of the aspects. That was the moment of it. Yeah, I think it was just a lot of use.
Yeah.
And yeah, I fell off of the pegboard and, like, well, I was out for 3 days because my back popped.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So yeah, that was all part of it. But then once it came time to go and do regionals, I felt fine. I felt free. I felt ready to go. I felt like I could do whatever I wanted or whatever I needed to do.
Yeah.
I could lift kettlebells. I could run. I could jump. I didn't feel any restriction at all.
Okay.
So once time came time, like, I don't know if that, you know, is adrenaline or that what exactly it was, but, like, I felt free.
Yeah.
And I loved it and I was doing well and I felt good about, I was in the final heat the whole time. Like, that was a good start. I'd never had a good start.
Yeah.
Like, and it felt good to have a good start.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, the finish wasn't what I wanted, but even when I was done, I was like, I think my back's fine now though.
Yeah.
And I remember coming back and a few days later being like, I think I can squat. So I was squatting. Like, we had squatting in class. So I had 315 on the barbell on the back squat. And I was like, I feel totally fine.
Yeah.
Feel totally fine. And then, like, 2 days later, like, everything just kind of seized up. And I don't know what it was. Again, there wasn't an event. But I think it was the combination of not really being healthy and then competing on it.
Yeah.
And then once the adrenaline of all that finally settled down.
Yeah.
Like, it was bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
And I couldn't walk. And it was, you know, a year of trying to get my back right. I ended up, you know, seeing doctors and having scans and all that stuff and having a bulge L5 S1 disc.
Yeah.
You know, got to the point where I couldn't do a calf raise on my left leg.
And then you did. And I'm committed to this, but you worked through physical therapy, didn't do surgery. Do you still have issues? Does it occasionally creep up, or?
No, I don't think I have any issues with that injury.
I mean, your movement with it is great these many years later. And we're not going to be able to, at this interview, we'll cover it when you get back, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about this. Well, you'll have to look for part two. And sorry to bring up, maybe should have talked right after with this, because it is such an emotional, because there's a lot of follow-up after 2017.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about that we're not going to cover.
Yeah.
But given that's 2017 and what you know now, when you have a setback physically, a setback with a expectation of, a result, what would you say to someone that would come to you, let's say, and say, you've gone through this. How did you handle it? Whether it's through your faith, whether it's through a specific action, what are three basic things that a person at that moment, if they can handle it or at least process it, would you say? And we'll kind of button this up today, because I want to talk to you more about these others, because there's a whole lifetime between 2017 and where we sit at 2024 that we'll have to talk about. But what would you say?
Well, first of all, it's very important to realize, and you mentioned your conversation with Lucas and talking about life and the fact that life's going to throw things at you. And you have to handle that. And some people are going to chase comfort. Some people's goal is to avoid discomfort. If that's your goal, you're going to be miserable because you can't avoid all that stuff. And so you're going to fill yourself with dopamine hits however you can. You know, so recognizing that as a reality, that there's going to be things that come your way that you're not going to enjoy, but your job isn't to hit yourself with whatever feels good to your flesh. Like, your job is to go into it with perseverance and try to understand what the bigger picture is. Because there is hope. There is hope. Like, my verse is Romans 15:13, and it talks about hope, and that we have the God of hope. We have access to the God of hope through the Holy Spirit, who gives us peace and joy. And you have to have something to cling on to. You have to have a rock to stand on to. You have to be grounded. You have to be anchored to something. Mm-hmm. If you're not, the wind and the waves and whatever life's going to throw at you, it's going to push you all over the place. And your only reaction to that is to find something that makes you happy. Mm-hmm. But happy comes and goes, just like being hungry comes and goes. You're going to have to eat something else again. And if you're hungry, you're probably just going to stuff your face with whatever you can.
Yeah.
So, if you're just chasing happiness, it's fleeting. It's going to come and go, and you're not going to be satisfied. So at some point, you have to recognize that because we're in the fallen world, that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, in my experience, my testimony to, what God has done for me is those times when the wind has been heavy and the waves have been high, I have, by his grace and because of how he's engaged with me, I've turned to him. And that's when he's just shown up in just amazing ways for me. And the wind that has been such resistance is something that I lean into, and I recognize it's this is something that can make me stronger. The resistance you feel when you work out, you welcome because you have the right perspective about it. You're squatting and it feels heavy, you welcome it. You don't run away from it. If you're trying to one rep max, you know it's going to be hard. You don't think, oh, this is going to be easy. You expect some challenge and you drive out of the bottom and you push up on the bar and you stand the thing all the way up. And then you celebrate what happened and how hard it was. You talk about the challenge that you overcame. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You get something in life that's difficult and it's going to be hard. You have to be honest with that. I'm not saying that's going to be easy suddenly because you have this perspective on it. Like, those times, the most lonely time in my life was when I was training for the games and the year I went to the games. And that whole experience, that whole time in my life was the most lonely I've ever been, but also the most the richest time in terms of my relationship with God and the way the Holy Spirit interacted with me.
Right.
So Like, I think there's a lot of points within that.
Yeah.
But overall, I would just say, like, if you're going through something, it's going to be hard and it's going to be uncomfortable. And you're going to have to grit your teeth and grin and bear it at some time. But it's also going to be so rewarding and fulfilling when you turn and you anchor yourself. You turn into the wind and you anchor yourself to the rock.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much hope in that.
Yeah.
And in the midst of the despair, like, one saying that came to me during that time was like, I was like, man, you cannot miss out on your desperation moments. Because in those moments, you can hear God's whisper. And God is whispering to you all the time. But you stuff things in your ears, your AirPods, you fill things with your eyes, you fill your life with distractions to chase comfort because you need something. When in reality, you need to sit down and be still and see who God is and listen to the whisper. And sometimes it takes a storm to do that. And sometimes the storm that brings you to the knees is the exact storm that God is going to use to lift you up. And if you can see that and you can stand on the rock and recognize that, the wind and the waves that are around you, like, it's not going to be as bad. Yeah. It's still going to be hard.
Yeah,
I guarantee you it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
And there's going to be times you question things. But if you can seek, you will find it. If you knock, you knock hard enough, like, door will open. And that's the truth. And that's the hope that we can live with. And, like, to me, that's what all of this is about.
Yeah.
And for me, having CrossFit and having a pursuit, a path to chase and something to go down, like, again, it's just the grace of God that he's used that and used athletics and stuff my whole life to communicate to me very clearly. Like, some people, it takes other things. Some people, it takes a rock bottom. Some people, it takes, you know, a different situation or a relationship that goes poorly or a different kind of setback. But that setback is a setup if you're open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is what I turn to, and I have to remind myself to turn to because I don't do it perfect.
Mm.
Like, when something comes my way, that's not like, oh, now I just know what to do and I handle it and it's all good. Like, it's, like I said, it's still hard.
Yeah.
It still feels impossible at times. It feels like I'm drowning at times. Mm. But I have to have perseverance and remind myself over and over again of God's faithfulness and look back to say, to see what he will do in the future. Because he's the same that he was yesterday. And he's going to be the same tomorrow. And his faithfulness doesn't change. So for me, that's what it's about. And for me, like, that's my job, you know, is to share my testimony and my, what has honestly happened to me and how God wants to use that is up to him. And so
I think it's interesting too. And we've got to get you out of here. So I'm going to button this up only in the sense that what you've shared, and I've seen the growth because I've watched you.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, that a lot of times the world looks to first place. They look to, and we want to be first place. We want to, you know, we want to be
victorious.
We want to be victorious. There's nothing wrong. You know, the Bible says we run the race, you know,
to win. Yeah.
But what I've watched is how you've handled. Maybe I don't always see it, you know, all the behind the scenes, but I know, having gone through enough suffering in my life and watching my mom, that it's the who you are as a person today. That if I talked to you 5 years ago, we wouldn't be having this conversation, or 6 years ago, 7 years ago. It'd be a different conversation because of what you hadn't gone through. That your shaping of who you are, not only as a person, as a husband, as a mentor now to this, you know, to Alina, as we talk about, to others, that yes, you want to pursue to win, but you're not consumed. If it doesn't happen, you just find a different direction. You find, okay, how is God speaking to me? What am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you love it. We don't always have to love that, but you've become more open to that opportunities and these things that, again, will shape who you are as you become a father.
Yeah.
As you become a grandfather, as you become a mentor, that those are the people you will be, that, like as we said, the steady.
Yeah.
This up and down you've gone through will either make you a complete wreck and you won't be good for anybody, frankly, let alone yourself, or you'll be someone who people look at and go, wow, this guy's, you don't share it all. People know more about your suffering right now, perhaps because of the stories which you shared, but they'll understand more because behind all of this fitness is a lot of hardship for somebody already at 31 years old.
Yeah, just to wrap it up.
And I'll give you the final word.
Yeah, I just think on this note, like something my dad told me, I think it was after 2017 and I had just missed out. You know, he was like, yeah, you should be disappointed. You have a right to be disappointed, but you don't need to be discouraged. And the way I heard him say that was like, yeah, you earned the right to be disappointed, but you have not earned the right to be discouraged. Like, that's the way I heard it from him. He said it in a loving way, but I heard this like, almost like, this is the reality. In life, this kind of stuff's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you work hard for something. And even if you went about it in the purest way, in the best way possible, like, and it doesn't go your way, disappointment. Absolutely. Be disappointed in it because you worked hard for something and you care about it. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, do to the best of your ability. Not for man's glory, but for God's. And if you don't do what you set out to do, be disappointed about it. But don't be discouraged. You do not have that right to be discouraged because you're still on the path.
Man.
Like you don't, because you don't do something you set out to do, it could be a little thing. You don't accomplish it right away. That doesn't mean you just throw in the towel and quit. It might mean you adjust your path or God has a different direction for you, mm-hmm. but it's not discouragement. Like we don't need to be discouraged.
Right.
We don't really have the right to be discouraged. Mm-hmm. You have the right to be disappointed if you've been honest with yourself and you've worked hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can be disappointed. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to be discouraged.
Yeah.
Because there is hope. And
yeah,
like that's the reality of it. So when I go through something, and there have been other situations that are very similar to that one, and I've felt disappointment a lot. I feel disappointment often.
Yeah.
You know, but I try not to be discouraged. And there's times when I'm like, wow, I'm feeling discouraged right now because I want to quit.
Yeah.
Like the way this is making me feel makes me want to quit.
Yeah.
But the reality is like, that's not what I live for. That's not who I want to be. That's not the responsibility I have as a person, is to be discouraged. It's to take courage and to take heart.
Yeah.
And to be disappointed. Absolutely. But then to take a step forward and on the moment as best I can. So,
yeah. Well, our time is over for now.
For now.
I'm over a time with you, but I love you.
Love you too, man.
I love you. And I'm so thankful we had a chance to sit down, because I mentioned to you when you get back, maybe after semis or games with Alina, we'll see how this all works out. I'm going to get her on between now and when you're fishing.
Love it.
But I'm so thankful for the chance for you to share. There's, again, a lifetime that we still haven't even scratched the surface on, a little bit. But I'm just thankful. Please share this. Check out the links that I have. Check out some information. I'll try to point where Mitch will be working in Bristol Bay and so forth. Keep him in your thoughts and prayers. He and Eric, as they do this endeavor together. I just appreciate your heart. I appreciate who you are as a person.
Thanks,
God's used you and he's going to continue to use that in mighty ways. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Absolutely.
I will do the outro again.
Well, quick before you cut it off, I just want to say thank you. And something I've admired about you is your willingness to just go for things. And man, to see you doing the weightlifting stuff, so cool. The only part I don't like about it is you weren't in the gym for a while. But to see you succeed in that was like just so awesome for me. To see you doing this coffee thing, to see you doing the podcast, the conversations thing. I look up to that. I admire that. I respect that. and your willingness to like, to, you have an itch, scratch it. Like, let's see what this is about and not be consumed by, you know, necessarily all the, all that comes after. But what's important is like right here, right now, and doing this together is awesome. And we probably wouldn't have done it, you know, like this. Unless you were doing what you're doing. And so,
I appreciate that. And I'm not sure I was in a place 5 or 6 years ago to sit and chat with you either. So part of this is much therapy or much opportunity, not to just to share your story, but me be able to have that therapy of this communication aspect. So I appreciate you and thank you for that. Be sure to share, like, follow, look for Mitch. Keep him in your thoughts and prayers if you are a praying person, for whatever God's will for this health and the health of his lifetime, most of all. And we will talk to you soon. Thank you again, Mitch Stevenson.
Thank you.
And there you have it, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that interview, of getting to know him, of hearing various parts of his formative years growing up, his heart that should be very clear after you've listened to this, that this young man has, not only for CrossFit, for fitness, but for people, his love of God, his love of his relationship with Jesus Christ, and just the integrity that he seeks to live with. I realize that the last part, we unfortunately got cut off of being able to talk further about beyond 2017. I hope you were able to hear what he was saying, take it in and receive it, and then use whatever part of his encouragement that is good for your life. We are planning to, when he returns from Alaska, planning to sit down and talk more. There is plenty of additional things we need to talk about. There's so much that happened after the part of where we talked about, but we simply ran out of time for what was available. So I am thankful you took the time to listen to it, and hopefully you have an even more or a better appreciation for Mitch. Even if you knew him, you know more now. And if you didn't, hopefully you have gleaned great information about a great young man. As always, I appreciate you, the listener, for taking the time out of your day to listen. My hope is to share stories of others. If I talked too much at any point, please forgive me. I apologize for that. I do try to seek to put the focus on the guest, and sometimes I get so excited that a stream of consciousness of what they have reminding me of, I've thought of, or just even the relationship with them brings out in me. Hopefully you can enjoy these conversations that I'm having as if you are sitting with these people also. That's my heart. That's my hope. Again, for those who are followers, thank you so much for taking the time to follow. You could do other things with your time and with your, you know, focus on social media or other life things, but I appreciate you. If you could, and you're listening, share this with others who would enjoy it, not just about fitness and CrossFit, but about people's stories, the stories behind just the fitness. There's so many interesting people that I have lined up, but there's so many interesting stories that we may never hear from or hear about other than whatever little bits might be published out in the world. Thank you for my guest. Thank you so much to Mitch Stevenson for opening his heart up, taking his time with me, and providing you, the listener, with just a really little glimpse into a highly competitive athlete, but also really tremendous young man. I've gone on and on a bit, but I appreciate you. And I look forward to the next interview and the next time we have to spend together. I will leave you, as always, with a reminder to take care of yourself, take care of your family, and if at all possible, seek to be of service to others and to help in those situations that you can be of help. I'll talk to you soon. This is Jonathan Kregel for Conversation with Kregel. Take care, all.